accession number 19040, Reel 5.
Major Duckworth, Reel 5. Now, I think that in 1954 you paid a visit to Budapest.
Yes, I went there as a member of the British Modern Pentathlon team for the World Championships. And it was a most interesting experience. When we arrived, we expected to be what one might call treated with suspicion and perhaps not as welcome as you might be behind the Iron Curtain. But we arrived at the airport simultaneously with the Russians, the Russian team. And we, although were subjected to not quite as rigorous a search as you might have got with the customs at Idlewild, that's Kennedy Airport, in those days, we were given a fair doing over. But it was nothing compared with the doing over the Russians were given. We were amazed and, of course, full of glee watching it. Every single thing, every stitch of clothing was gone through. And from that set the pattern. From that moment onwards, it was quite clear from the local population's attitude to the Russian team that the Russians were absolutely hated. And there was an undercurrent of discontent with the regime and with the Russians generally. We were always assigned throughout the thing to our own buses. The Western elements all went into one bus or two buses. The Eastern Europeans were in another bus and so on. Everything was bugged. The buses were bugged. And although we had one or two friends who we'd met before the great sort of divide was as consolidated as it was, we weren't allowed to go on the buses with them. And when one occasion when I tried to, I was firmly ushered back onto a Western bus. When we were in the hotel, we managed to get somebody who spoke very good English and was strongly Anglophile and had been in London to come and talk to us. And he said, I think we'd better talk upstairs. But when we went upstairs to the bedroom, he went round and swept the whole room and then put the plug firmly in the wash basin and then would only talk in a very low voice because he said, it's all bugged everywhere you go. We had a taxi driver, or at least we were assigned a driver for our crew, a team for one stage. And he was the most incredible fellow, looking like a Giles cartoon, with huge round face, huge round body, and glasses you could barely imagine he could see out of. They were so pebble thick. But he drove us about. But his disdain for the Russians and for the communist authority was made manifest at every juncture. It was a total eye-opener. Then they organized the competition very efficiently. They produced something which I'm so glad I was able to appreciate, and that was they had needed 50 horses for the competition, which they have acquired. They produced 50 stallions, all of very much the same quality and standard. And to achieve that, as most nations who've tried to do that know so well, is they would have to have trained anything up to 150 or more in order to get the middle 50, which are of even standard. And these animals were formidable. Wonderful horses to ride, and they looked superb. And they set a most interesting course. It's a course rather like a badminton course, but not quite such big fences and the like. But a lot of the things which you see at badminton today were on their course. For instance, you had a log wagon with three huge trees on it, almost total trees, with oxen tethered at each end, and you had to jump through that. They had a tremendous ditch, which really required a very careful negotiation. They had, as they do at Badminton now, a sort of shed type of thing with a jump in the centre of it. And there is novelty jumps. Some you might think a little bit unreal from the normal cross-country point of view, but the course was really meant to be 5,000 metres cross-country with anything up to about 22 or 23 obstacles. So, but they had really gone to town and made a most interesting and elaborate course.
What kind of living conditions did the people of Budapest at that time seem to be living in?
It was very difficult to see, really. We lived outside in a hotel on a hill in Buda, I think it would be, and the centre of the town looked to be more or less intact, although some of the bridges were down. But there were still marks of the Second World War, bullet marks all over the walls and things like that, and there was a general air of run-downness about it all. And the only, we didn't see anything that was a private enterprise other than that porcelain shop